Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Yevamos Daf Gimel. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins in the middle of Daf Gimel Amud Aleph. You'll notice that there are house shape markings, and the point at which our shiur will be at Roman numeral number 2. We started this marking system in our last shiur, where we mentioned there were 4 sets of questions concerning the language and style of our Mishnah. So this is the second question, and on the side of the Gemara, under our Nosei, our topic heading, we've indicated the Nosei of number 2, Lama Nokta HaMishnah Loshon Potros B'mkoim Osros. Why did our Mishnah choose the language of the Chamesh Esrei Noshim Potros Tzorosan? Potros means exempts. Instead of the language or the expression osros, that they forbid. We, in learning Maseches Yevamos, it must be pointed out that there is a great deal of buildup from points mentioned earlier to every continuing daf of Gemara. And at times it will be just a bit cumbersome for those who have been participating in our shiurim from beforehand to continue with repeat introductory remarks, which would appear obvious to those who were listening. So that if you're a first-time listener, it's important to have heard yesterday's shiur to appreciate many of the points we'll be discussing today. But to simply cite a quick example, we had yesterday, we discussed in our previous shiur, that is, Reuven and Shimon were brothers. Reuven married Shimon's daughter. Reuven had another wife. It is obvious to us that when Reuven dies, leaving no children, so Shimon will not marry his daughter in order to fulfill Yibum, but Shimon will not marry the other wife, the co-wife, his daughter's co-wife as well. How is that the case? How did that come to be? Well, the Erva, the daughter, who was a forbidden relation to Shimon, that Erva asered, prohibits the marriage of the co-wife to Shimon as well. So if that be the case, or as that is the case, why does the Mishnah choose the language potros when it could have used maybe the more likely expression osros? The Gemara answers, e tono osros, had the Mishnah chosen the word osros, that the erva, the forbidden relation, asers, prohibits the co-wife, havamino, I would have thought, osur liabeim avol michlatz chotza, that the prohibition is to enter into marriage, for Shimon to marry the co-wife. However, there should be a chalitza done, the shoe removal ceremony, in order to enable the co-wife to marry out, to marry someone else. Komash malon, hence the Mishnah chose the expression potros, which means exempts. Exempts means there is no element of Yibum whatsoever, Yibum including Chalitza. Nothing needs to be done. With the death of Reuven and a sole surviving brother, Shimon, no children, of course, these two women, Shimon's daughter and the co-wife, are free to marry out, anyone they want. Question, and you'll notice that we have the triangle marking. And this also, we continued from the previous sugya. We are using triangles to suggest alternatives, alternative expressions to that which the Mishnah uses. So the Gemara asks, "Velisni asura lachlots." Why doesn't the Mishnah use that expression, that it is forbidden for chalitza to be done? The Gemara asks, "My kovid? What do you mean it should be forbidden? What what violation, what prohibition is there in doing chalitza? The Rashi, if we go down into the lines under the Gemara text, my ka'ovid, what is prohibited about a simple act of removing a shoe? V'hilkach lo shaych loshen isur b'chalitza el loshen poter. The expression usur implies that there is some type of violation. There would be a transgression if the shoe were removed. What kind of transgression is there involved if that were to be? So the term usur lachlos is simply inappropriate. The Gemara retorts. It responds to that, says, alom alo. Why do you say that? That the loshen, that the expression of usur would be inappropriate? Why is that? Why do you say, why are you so sure? How are you so sure that it's inappropriate? Actually, it is appropriate. Imato oimer choletzes misyabemes. If chalitza were a possibility, so then that would open up the possibility for yibum. And yibum is strictly forbidden. Therefore, it would be appropriate to say asur lachlotz, asur lachlotz. It's forbidden for her to remove the shoe. Once again, because if she were to remove the shoe, people would think that in a similar situation, yibum would be an option. And that is strictly forbidden. So let us forbid the removal of the shoe as well, and say it that way, asur lachlotz. The Gemara answers, kevon de b'moki mitzvah hu de asiro tzara, v'shelo b'moko mitzvah Sharia, since only when there's the death of a brother do we say that the co-wife is forbidden. Let us say, however, Shimon's daughter married someone else, not his brother, some stranger. And that stranger had a co-wife. That stranger dies. Shimon is allowed to marry his daughter's co-wife. That's called Shaloi B'moko Mitzvah. So she is muteris. So just to go over this point again, since only the Moko Mitzvah, only where there is the demise of one's brother, do we say that the Erva's co-wife is forbidden. However, if it's an Erva married to an outsider, that's Shelobo Moko Mitzvah, so the co-wife is Muteres, she is permitted to marry the man who's otherwise forbidden to the Erva, Mishum Hachi, Tony Potros. Because of this, the Mishnah chose the language Potros. So now we look in the Rashi who explains. Mishum hochi tona Potros, the e tona osros, had the term osros been used, namely that the 15 forbidden ladies, relatives that are mentioned in the Mishnah. Osros, Tzoros, and if that was used, mashma shabas osarto olov, that it's the daughter of Shimon that creates the Isur, creates the prohibition on the co-wife. And if that's the case, the kal v'chomer shelo b'moko mitzvah. And if you're going to say that the co-wife is prohibited in the case of mitzvahs yibum, where a brother died, all the more so the erva would aser, would prohibit the co-wife in a non-mitzvah situation. And that's simply not true. That's why we don't want to use the word osros. Avo potros lo mishtama isura mishum tzoras shabas. The term potros does not imply that the prohibition is a function of her being a co-wife of the daughter. Elo habas potrosim yibum. Rather, it's not as if that the bas, the daughter of Shimon, creates an isur. It is that the daughter of Shimon exempts the co-wife, Mi'ibum. The Isura Shachiv Alo Memela. Once she is exempted from Yibum, so then there is a Memela in an automatic fashion, an Isur develops. The Havio Bi Isur Eshesach Shieshla Bonim Umishum Eshesach Hude Mitzar. By the fact that once you say, and this we discussed in our previous shiur also, once you say that a woman is exempt from the mitzvah of Yibum, so the automatic prohibition of brother's wife, sister-in-law, brother's wife, sets in. Shelo b'moko mitzvah deleko isur eshesach alo sharia. In a non-brother, two-brother situation, where the erva, where the daughter married an outsider, where there is no prohibition of Eishes Ach that is there, so the co-wife is muteres. So, just to review the main point of the Gemara, why didn't the Mishnah use the expression that the erva asers the co-wife, but rather exempts the co-wife? The reason for that is because had the Mishnah used the term that the erva asers prohibits the co-wife, that would have led us to an incorrect conclusion. And we would have thought that even shelo b'mokom mitzvah, the co-wife is prohibited. And that is not true. Then we continue now with question number three. And on the side of the Gemara under the Nosei, we have written, Biwur haloshon min hachalitzo min hayibum. Our Mishnah said that the 15 ervas pater the tzoros from min hachalitzo, from the need for shoe removal, and from yibum. The Gemara. Umay iryo detoni min hachalitzo min hayibum, listening min hayibum luchudei. Why does the Mishnah feel compelled to teach that there is an exemption from shoe removal and from levirate marriage? Yibum is called levirate marriage. Lisni min hayibum l'chudei. Why not have the Mishnah say that the erva exempts the co-wife from yibum by itself without adding chalitza? Itana, the Gemara answers, itana min hayibum, had the Mishnah taught that the erva exempts from yibum, havamino, I would have thought, michlatz chalsa yibum lo miyavmo, that a shoe removal process or ceremony is necessary, but as far as yibum, that's not done. Komash malon, the Mishnah, by saying what it says, min ha'chilitza u'mina yibum, is telling me a rule. Kola oyla liyibum, oyla l'chalitza. V'chol she'ena oyla liyibum, eino oyla l'chalitza. Anyone who is a candidate for yibum has the option of chalitza. Anyone who's not a candidate for yibum, there is no chalitza option. And there's no chalitza that is done. The Gemara asks, v'lisni min hayibum min hachalitza, in terms of order, why instead of what the Mishnah actually says is first chalitza and then yibum, say that the erva exempts the tzara from yibum and from chalitza? Inami min hachalitza l'chuda, or simply say that the erva exempts the tzara from chalitza by itself. So why does the Mishnah choose the order that it does? Now let's take a look at Rashi, by the way. Three lines from the bottom. We have a star in order to help you find it easily. V'nisni yibum b'resha, dehu ikr. Yibum is the main mitzvah when it comes to the death of a brother who left no children. So surviving brother is expected as a first choice to marry the widow. Tahok siv, the pasuk says, im lo yachbos lich lekachas v'chotza, the Torah says that if he doesn't want to take her, then there is a shoe removal. Ha im chofetz liabem yabem. However, that if he would want to take her, that's what he should do. He should marry her. The idea of the shoe removal is only as a secondary decision or secondary method. Once, if he doesn't want, if the surviving brother doesn't want to marry, so we see that the first choice, Alma Mrs. Yibum Bereisha, the first choice would have been for the surviving brother to marry the widow. So our question is, why the order? Why does the Mishnah say that the erva exempts from chalitza and from yibum? The Gemara answers, Abba Sholhi, our Mishnah is in accordance with Abba Sholhi Omar, mitzvahs chalitza kidemes the mitzvahs yibum. Contrary to what we explained, Abba Shol is a Tanaic authority that feels that it's better, in the case of the death of a brother, for the surviving brother to enter the chalitza ceremony rather than to marry the surviving the widow that survived his brother. Why Abba Shol feels that way? Rashi touches on it based on the Gemara later in the Masichta, that a man, a brother-in-law who marries his sister-in-law for some reason other than pure mitzvah motivation. He marries her because he feels she's attractive, or because he's looking for a wife, which is some reason other than maintaining the name of the deceased through bearing children. That's considered as if he's marrying a forbidden woman, because, as we said many times, besides the mitzvah of Yibum, or outside the mitzvah of Yibum, there is an Isur called Eshesach, wife of brother, sister-in-law. Wife of brother is basically forbidden. It's only that since there were no children left, his brother didn't produce any children, so there's a special permission to marry his widow. In other words, the surviving brother's sister-in-law. But if you're not doing it for pure motivation, as the Torah would expect you to do, it would be better to do chalitz. And Abba Shoal is worried that people don't function on the highest spiritual level, and therefore it would be better to not get involved, break the bond, break the zika through having the widow remove the brother's shoe. We now start with question number 4. And on the side of the Gemara, the Nosei of number 4, Ma Mashmusim Shel Minyan DeReisha V'Seifa DeMasnisin. Our Mishnah spelled out 15, and then it went to enumerate them. You don't really need to spell out a number if they are enumerated. You can just count them up on your own. So the Mishnah opened up by saying, Chamesh Esrei Nashim Potro Sorosan, and then went on to enumerate them. What do I need the number for in the beginning? The Mishnah also uses an expression, Harei Elu Potros. It would appear to be a repeat expression that you find. Once you tell me at the opening of the Mishnah that these 15 ervas exempt their co-wives from Yibum, so it's obvious that they exempt them. Why do you have to repeat again later, Hare Elu Potros Sorosehen? So that is called Minyana de Seifa in the Gemara. That expression, even though it's not an actual number, but it's an expression referring back to the opening 15 women. Why is that expression necessary as well? So the Gemara asks, we should point out also, as far as this section of the Gemara, you'll see there are numbers in little house markings 1 and 2, and under the Mivneh heading on the side we indicate Shlavim Shel She'elois Be'inyan Minyana Limutei Mai. These are stages in asking the questions regarding the numbers. We've double underlined the words Reisha and Seifa. Minyana de Reisha, the Gemara Limutei Mai, the number at the in the opening of the Mishnah, the number 15 that the Mishnah spells out. When you say 15, you're suggesting 15 and no others. Uminyana de Seifa, the expression Hare Elu Potros, these 15 exempt, Lemutemai, what is that coming to exclude? Some other kind of situation will not lead to an exemption. The Gemara continues at the top of Omid Beis, Limute de Rav Uderavasi. These two minyons, these two numbers of the Mishnah, the opening number Hachamesh Esrei and the expression Hare Elu Potros, exclude two cases. One case is known as the case of Rav, which Rashi refers to the case of Tzoras Soita, and the second minyon in the Mishnah comes to exclude the case of Tzoras Ilonis. That's Rav Asi's case. And now we'll explain what those cases are. We have little charts on the side of the Gemara to help along. Tzoras Soto. So we have, and we're continuing the same marking scheme or the same chart making scheme as we did in our previous year. You see Ruvain and Shimon, abbreviated as Resh and Shin. The Shin is in a diamond, and we're going to be evaluating. There are cases of forbidden women. So in the case of Reuven and Shimon that are brothers, Reuven has two wives. One is we have noted Zinsa. She's suspect of immorality. Zinsot is, for our purpose, means suspect of immorality. And there's a co-wife, Isha number two. According to Rav, that Isha number two, she's a co-wife of a Soita. A Soita is a woman who's suspect of immorality. And it should be pointed out that such a woman is prohibited to live with her husband until she goes to the Beis HaMikdash and drinks the special waters in order to determine her guilt of actual immorality or innocence. So the woman who is suspect of immorality is clearly prohibited if, let us say, Reuven were to die, so Shimon would not marry her. What about the Sota's co-wife? According to Rav, the Sota prohibits the co-wife or exempts the co-wife as well in the event that Reuven dies, leaving no children. Isha, number two, will not marry Shimon. Now that's according to Rav. Is Sota mentioned in our Mishnah? No. 15 women were mentioned in the Mishnah as exempting their co-wives. Sota was not mentioned. So as far as our Mishnah is concerned, this case would be all right. So the point of the number is to say that the 15 Ervas cited in the Mishnah exempt their co-wives. Sota does not exempt the co-wife from mitzvahs yibum. So by saying that, we're limute, we're saying something to the exclusion of Rav's opinion. There's another case called Tsoras Ailinus. So again, you see we have a little chart. You've got Reuven and Shimon. Reuven is married to two wives. One is an Ailinus, and the other is Isha number two. Ailinus, as we explained in our previous year, is a woman that doesn't mature properly, and she's incapable of bearing children. And when Reuven discovers this, she's not considered married. We call that a mekach tois. So the Ailinus is not a real wife. There's much more to say on the topic of Ailinus, but as far as Rav Asi is concerned, if once a man is married to an Ailinus, since she is not shayach to the mitzvah of Yibum because she's not capable of procreating, and the mitzvah of Yibum is there in order to promote the name of the deceased through bearing children with the surviving brother. So the Ailinus is out of the realm of mitzvahs Yibum. She's not capable of procreation. According to Rav Asi, Isha number two, the co-wife, is also exempted from Yibum. Now I ask you, is Ailinus an example mentioned in our Mishnah of 15 forbidden women? No. It doesn't appear. The case of Ailinus does not appear in the Mishnah. That's what the second minyan comes to exclude. So the minyan de Resha and the minyan de Seifo come to exclude the cases of Tsoras Sota and Tsoras Ailinus as being exempted from Yibum. They're not exempted. So there would be a mitzvah Yibum with those women, with the Tzora, the co-wife of the Sota, the co-wife of the Ailinus. Now, let us point out that Rav and Rav Asi, they're Amoroyim. So how do they deal with the numbers in the Mishnah? As far as they are concerned, the numbers are not really limited to those 15. You see that Rav and Rav Asi expand the list of women that are capable of exempting co-wives. So LaRav uLaRav Asi LeMutei Mai. What do the numbers in the Mishnah come to exclude? The Gemara answers, Isvira Luhu Dehadodi. If they hold of each other, in other words, if Rav agrees with Rav Asi and Rav Asi agrees with Rav, that those examples, those are additional examples of tsoros that are exempted, so we have to come up with two cases where a tsora is not exempted. Chado limute tsoras mema'enes. Vechado limute tsoras machsir grushoso. On the side, we have a little chart, a little diagram. You've got Reuven and Shimon. And Reuven is married to two wives. One is a Yesoima Ktana, and one is a Tzora. For our purposes, you can have, you have Reuven is married to a woman that he had once divorced. She went married someone else, and Reuven took her back after that second party divorced her, which is something that the halacha prohibits. That's called masir grushoso. When you take back a woman you divorced, when in the interim she married someone else, that's prohibited. It's very, by the way, it's a very fine mitzvah for a man who divorces his wife to take her back, to remarry her, but that's provided she didn't marry someone else in the interim. If she did, that's an avera. It's called masir grushasoi. In this case, it's an avera. And we are interested in focusing on the co-wife. So we have two situations of co-wives that will not be excluded from the mitzvah of chalitza. And they are, once again, tzoras mima'enes. What's the case of tzoras mima'enes? You had Reuven and Shimon that are brothers. And Reuven married a Yesoima Ktana. If we look at the Rashi, we'll appreciate this a little more. Tzoras Mimaenis on the fourth line from the top. Hare Shoya Li Ochiv Yesoima Ktana. Ve'isha Cheres. A Yesoima Ktana, we mentioned our previous shiur, was a girl who was married on a rabbinic level. That's because her father did not give her over in marriage, but rather her mother or brother gave her over into marriage. And that's called a rabbinic marriage, when a girl who's a minor is married through her mother or brother marrying her off. She, before she reaches adulthood, can refuse to continue living with her husband without the need for a writ of divorce, without the need for a get, and that process is called mi'un. So, in Rashi continues, Reuven was married to a Yesoima Ktana, V'isha Acheres, Umeis, and then Reuven died, leaving two wives. One, a minor, who was married, who had been married to Reuven through a rabbinic invention, and a co-wife, a regular wife. Umiano Haktana V'yogomzeh, and the minor that had been married to Reuven is now confronting Shimon, and she refuses to enter matrimony with him. He v'tzorosa asura lo. Umasnis nashmina di afagav de asira la lo miftura michalitza. This is a rabbinic level law. The rabbinic level law states that the Yesoima Ktana and the co-wife are prohibited in marrying Shimon. However, they are not exempt from chalitza. The shoe removal ceremony must take place. So our Mishnah, by stating in 15 cases, there are 15 women that exempt from chalitza and yibum, those 15 do exempt, not the tzoras mima'enes. Chalitza will be necessary. And the case, likewise, of machzir grushoso, both of the women are prohibited in yibum, but chalitza will be necessary. So our Mishnah, by stating its numbers, is telling me those two examples. We continue in the Gemara. V'i lo sviro lehu dehadodi. If Rav and Rav Asi don't agree with one another, chado one of the numbers in the Mishnah, Li'ute de Chavrei. One of the numbers in the Mishnah will be telling me that that in the case of Tzoras Sota, or the case of Tzoras Eilinus, there won't be a Chalitza exemption. So I'll need the number, one of the numbers in the Mishnah, to indicate that only the 15 exempt from the Chalitza necessity, but Tzoras Sota or Tzoras Eilinus are not exempted from Chalitza. The Chado Limute, the other number of the Mishnah, is coming to exclude Oi Tzoras Mimaenes, to exclude that case and say in effect that the Tzoras Mimaenes does need Chalitza, Oi Tzoras Machzir Grushasa, or the other number is excluding from exemption the case of the co-wife of the Machzir Grushasa scenario. L'Rav u'L'Rav Asi, according to these two Amoroyim that hold that in addition to the 15 women mentioned in the Mishnah that there is a Chalitza exemption, why not mention explicitly their cases as well? So whether, according to Rav, the question is, why doesn't the Mishnah say that Tzoras Sota is exempted? And according to Rav Asi, why doesn't the Mishnah say straight out that Tzoras Eilinus is exempted? The Gemara answers, Lefi She'eino B'Tzoras Sora. Because that halacha, if you recall, we spoke about the chain effect, that halacha cannot be taught in this case, in the case of Tzoras Eilinus or Tzoras Sota. And the reason for that is, let us backtrack a little bit. What is a good illustration of Tzoras Sora? So, to keep things simple, we go to our basic example of Reuven Shimon, that are brothers, and Reuven marries Shimon's daughter. Reuven has another wife as well. There is also Levi in the picture. So you've got Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. Shimon is the only one that has an actual Yibum restriction. But upon the death of Reuven, Levi could do Yibum with one of Reuven's widows. Let us say that Levi has his own other wife. When Levi chooses to do Yibum with the Tzora of Shimon's daughter, and then Levi dies, the Tzora of Shimon's daughter exempts Levi's wife as well from Yibum if Shimon is the sole surviving brother. Just like Shimon could not have married his daughter's co-wife, that co-wife imposes a Yibum exemption on her co-wife. So that's the co-wife of a co-wife. That's called Tzoras Tzora. In order to invent that case, you had to have the option of Levi, in fact, marrying the co-wife of Reuven. In other words, we should say Reuven had two wives. Levi had the option of marrying one of those wives. However, and that being the case, that enabled us to create the Tzoras Tzora scenario, where Levi's own wife, original wife, would also be exempted. But that's only because Levi was able to marry the surviving, or the widow, one of the widows of Reuven. However, in the case of Tzoras Sota, or the case of Tzoras Eilinus, as far as Rav and Rav Asi are concerned, all the brothers are equally prohibited. So that the case of Tzoras Tzora could not get off the ground. And therefore, they don't belong in the Mishnah, because our Mishnah was interested in teaching that Tzora is asuro, is prohibited or exempted, and tsoras, tsoras also prohibited. But we couldn't get to that stage in the cases of the tsoras soter, the tsoras ailunis, according to Rav and Ravasi, respectively. As you can see, we have a slash mark, and that indicates that that which follows is a new trend of thought. We open up with a very long Tanaic source. The more we'll be preoccupied with this source for, let us say, quite a while. So we turn to the side of the Gemara before we go into the source itself. We go to the side where we have a Nosei Mivneh heading. Diamonds appear. They represent Shalosh Kotoros, three headings. Limitzias Mekoros, to discover, to find sources, being in Arayis Vitzoroseyan Bekeshul Yibum Venisuin. We're dealing here with a very basic information. We're looking for sources for the prohibition for of forbidding women to enter into a Yibum or marriage relationship. You will notice triangles that appear as you go down the source. Tachas HaKotoros Mahen HaMakoros. Under the headings, we'll then be asking, what are the sources? Number one, Le'ervo Atzmo, Letzoroseyan, Letzoros Tzoroseyan, Shar Arayas Menoysof, Letzoros Habas Menolan. So we will be looking for sources that an erva does not enter into a yibum relationship, that the co-wife of an erva does not, and that co-wife, if she marries one of the other brothers, and one of those other brothers happens to have their own wife and they die, so that woman as well, is the tsoras tsora, is also prohibited to the original forbidden brother. From time to time we speak a bit in shorthand, but that's only to keep things from overload. Let us now turn to the actual Gemara. Minohani mili. From where do we know that an erva and her co-wife and the co-wife of the co-wife are always exempt from Yibum? See, the Tanu Rabbanan, Isha el achoisa lo sikach litzror legalois ervasa oleha bechayeha. The pasuk speaks about a man marrying two sisters. So it's the pasuk simple on a very simplistic level is telling me that a man cannot marry a woman and her sister. They would litzror, they would become then sisters. And that cannot be done when they are both alive. In other words, on a simple level, the pasuk is saying that a man cannot marry two sisters while they are alive. That is to be to the exclusion of the case of a man who married a woman and the woman died, as opposed to divorce. But she died. The widower can marry his wife's sister. So we read the pasuk, Isha l'choysa l'sikach l'tzor l'galas ervos oleho b'chaya. Oleho ma talmud lomar. What does the word oleho in this pasuk accomplish? In other words, the pasuk could have simply been written without the word oleho, and it would have made perfect sense that Isha l'choysa l'sikach l'tzor l'galas ervos oleho b'chaya. So what does Oleho add? Ma tamad lomar. Lefi shenemar yavoma yavoi Oleho. Since the pasuk in Sefer Dvorim says that when a man dies leaving no children, so the surviving brother shall marry the widow. And you see, in that pasuk in Dvorim, the word Oleho appears. Shomeani afilu v'achas mikol arayos huamuros b'toro hakosav medaber. Should I think that the Yavam is allowed to marry in order to accomplish the mitzvah of Yibum, even a woman who otherwise would have been forbidden. We gave the simple example of Reuven married Shimon's daughter. Reuven dies leaving no children. Since the Torah commands that there is a mitzvah of Yibum, should Shimon then marry his daughter in order to fulfill that mitzvah? The Gemara continues, Ne'emar kan oleha. You see the word oleha present in Achos Isha. Ve'ne'emar lahalon oleha. You see the word oleha present in the mitzvah of Yibum. Ma lahalon b'mokoi mitzvah. Just like the word oleha in Dvorim Perek Chof Hei is taught in the context of a mitzvah, the mitzvah of Yibum, afkan b'mokoim mitzvah. So too the pasuk in Vayikra, Perek Yudches, which dealt with marriage of a woman and her sister, is speaking not in a vacuum, but is speaking in the context of a mitzvah. In other words, the pasuk in Vayikra Yudches is speaking about a man who would be marrying his wife's sister in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Yibum. The Omar Rachmona Loi Sikach. And the Pasuk says, do not take her. Do not take her, even if it is in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Yibum. So in simple terms, one is not allowed to marry an erva relationship, a woman forbidden to you, as is the case of a wife's sister, even if it's to fulfill the mitzvah of Yibum. V'ein li Elohi. From this, I would think that the restriction or the exemption is only regarding the erva, Sarasi Minai. What about a co-wife of the forbidden lady? That she also is exempted from Yibum. Talmud Loimar Litzror. You noticed in the posuk that opened up this brisa, at the end of the line, the word litzror. Litzror indicates a tzora, co-wife. V'ein li elo tzorasa. Well, the word litzror would seem to tell me the co-wife alone. In other words, the basic erva and her co-wife. Tzoras tzorasa minayin. Where do I see this chain effect where, as we had in our example earlier, that there was Reuven, Shimon, and Levi had his own separate wife. In the event that Levi marries the erva's co-wife, Levi's own wife will then become osur to Shimon. That's the case of Tzora Sar. From where do we know that? Talmud Loimar Litzror, V'lo Lotzur. Instead of the Torah writing Lotzur, it writes Litzror. The extra resh indicates this chain reaction that we've been describing several times. V'ein li elo achois isha. If I had just the pasuk that we cited above, I would say that this prohibition applies in the case of achos isha, where there was Reuven and Shimon, and Shimon was married to a woman. Reuven married the sister of Shimon's wife, and Reuven died, leaving the sister of Shimon's wife and a co-wife. That's where the prohibition of Tzora and Tzora applies. Shara Rayas Minayin. How do I know to apply this scheme of things to other forbidden women? As is the case of Reuven marrying Shimon's daughter. Not just the case of Reuven marrying Shimon's wife's sister, or Reuven marrying Shimon's mother-in-law, or any of the other 15 cases. How do we know that this rule of co-wife and co-wife of co-wife exists? Amris, answer. Ma achos isha miuchedes. Just like the case of achos isha has these characteristics. She erva, that she's a forbidden woman. V'chayoven al zdoinu kores v'shigos achatos. And if a person knowingly marries or cohabits with his wife's sister, will be chayav the kores punishment. And if he does so unwittingly, he is chayav to bring a sin offering. The asura layavam, the achos isha, is a woman who is prohibited to the yavam, as we saw before in the word through the word oleha. So Achos Isha has these three characteristics. She's an erva, she's a forbidden relationship to Shimon, she would generate a kores penalty or a chatos offering, and she is forbidden in the mitzvah of Yibum. So too will apply then Af kol, so to any other erva. Af kol, she erva, v'chayav mazdoi nukar shugos achatas, asura layavam. V'ein li Elohein. So far, I would say that applies to the other arayos themselves, the other forbidden relations that have these characteristics similar to the achos isha. Tzorosehen minayin. From where do I know that the rule of co-wife exemption will apply to the additional Ervos as well, besides in addition to Achos Isha? Amris, we answer. Ma Achos Isha Miuchedes. She Erva, v'chayov amals doinu koris shukas achatis v'asura liyovam, v'tzorasa asura, just like the case of Achos Isha, we're presenting that as the archetype, that she has all of these characteristics. She is an Erva. She will generate a chiv koris or a chiv chatos, and she is prohibited to the Yavam, and her co-wife is Osir, as we proved above through the word Litzror. So Af Kol, so to any other woman, she Erva, that has these characteristics. She's an Erva. She generates a Chiyuv, Shchayoven Alz Doino, Kores Rosa Chatos, V'Asura Liyavam. So Rosa Asura, her co-wife as well, will be Osir. Hence we see through this comparisons, a type we call this a binyan av, where we compare to the case of Achos Isha, and we come out with the rule that all other ervas and their co-wives will be exempt from yibum. Mikan omru chachomim, based on this, the chachomim, the sages proclaimed chameshes rei noshim. There are 15 women, potros tzorosehen v'tzorosehen nachitzen yibum ad soif ha'olam. They exempt their co-wives, and those co-wives in turn will exempt other co-wives from the mitzvah of shu removal or yibum until the end of generations. At Sofolam is the case of where there are brothers and more brothers and more brothers, where the chain reaction of tsaros tsarosein can continue, as we described earlier. Yochol shani marbe af sheish arayis chamuros me'elu shutzorosehen asuros. Up till now we've been speaking about the prohibition of co-wives. Co-wives to whom? To ervas. Ervas that someone's brother was able to marry. We spoke about Reuven marrying Shimon's daughter. Now, the mitzvah of Yibum, as we emphasized in our previous year, exists only when you have brothers from the common father. There are six forbidden relations that cannot marry any of the brothers. And they are found in a Mishnah later on Daf Yud Gimel. And we've listed them on the side. Imo, Ashes Aviv, Achos Aviv, Achoso Me Aviv, Eshes Achi Aviv, Eshes Achiv Me Aviv, that bore children. If you take just one of the examples, someone's mother. Now, someone's mother cannot be married by any of his brothers. Someone's mother, therefore, would be able to marry an outsider. Likewise, Eishes Av, that woman cannot marry any of his brothers. So, a person's father's wife, if she enters into another marriage, she's going to enter into marriage with some outsider. That outsider happens to have a co-wife, happens to have another wife. We're speaking, of course, in the Zman of the Gemara, where polygamy was something that was allowed. So he had another wife. What is the din with regard to these six women? They're called six serious prohibitions, and the idea of their being considered serious is that meaning that they can't marry any of the brothers. So Shimon's mother cannot marry, obviously his son can't marry his mother, and his brother cannot marry Shimon's mother either, even if it's not Reuven's actual mother, but it will be Reuven's father's wife, because Reuven and Shimon have to be brothers from the same father in order to discuss mitzvah Yibum. So the mother of Shimon cannot marry Reuven. What might be? She might marry some outsider. And if that outsider happens to have another wife and he dies, can someone marry, let us say, his mother's co-wife when she married an outsider? Or if his father's wife, if his father died and his widow went and married some outsider, and that outsider happened to have a co-wife, a second wife, can someone marry his father's wife's co-wife? What is the story with co-wives with regard to those six arayas? So let's read that again. Yochashni marba av shesh arayas chamrus me'elu shitzorosehen asuros. Would the co-wives be prohibited? The Gemara answers. And the answer, you'll notice, is a long answer. And we're going to say, I'll just say the end of the answer is that they are not prohibited. Amris, we answer. Ma achos isha, we continue learning from the archetype of achos isha. What is the nature of achos isha? Just again, to review, as we said at the beginning of the Masichta, we're dealing with a new way of thinking. You have to deal with charts. Some of the charts you simply hold in your mind, some you can write out. But you've got Reuven and Shimon that are brothers. The case of Achos Isha, we have that charted on Daf Beis. Achos Isha, where two men married two sisters. Reuven was married to Shimon's wife's sister. Reuven died leaving no children. That's the case of Achos Isha, and we say that that Shimon cannot marry his wife's sister for the sake of Mitzvah Yibum. So that just like Ma Achos Isha Miuchedes has as her characteristics, she erva v'chayovim al zdoinu kores v'shikos achatas v'efsher li nosei lachin. Now we dashed on this as the main point. She can marry one of the other brothers. If Reuven dies leaving no children, but leaving a widow who happened to be Shimon's wife's sister, so Shimon can't marry her, but Levi can marry her. If there are other brothers, Yudah, Yisachar, Zvulun, if there are other brothers, they can marry her. So Achos Isha is an example of an erva to Shimon, but not to the other brothers, the Asura Leyavam, Vitzorosa Asura, and she is also, if there's only Shimon in our scenario, so Shimon cannot marry her, and her co-wife would be forbidden. Af Kol, so to any other woman Shehi erva, the Chayovim Azdoin Kores Shigos Achatos, the Efsher Linose Lachim, the Asura Liyavam, Sarasa Asura, Yatsu Shesharayas Chamrus Meilu, to the exclusion of the six women that we enumerated before, Hoyol Di'i Efsher Linose Lachim, since there is no scenario of them marrying one of the brothers, Sorosehen Mutorois, their co-wives in that case are Mutter, She'ain Sora Elomeach. The co-wife restriction comes about only when you have the death of a brother. Then we evaluate the co-wife situation. However, if a forbidden lady is married to an outsider, and that outsider happened to have a co-wife, when the outsider dies, the co-wife of the forbidden woman is not usher to be married. In other words, one of the brothers can marry. Any of the brothers can marry that co-wife. She'ain Sora Elomeach, as we said, the concept of tzora comes about only with the death of a brother. not with the death of an outsider. Azhara Shamanu, from here we learn the negative command. We saw the pasuk above, Isha Chosa Loi Sikach, that's called an Azhara, a negative command. Oinesh Minayin, from where do we know that an Oinesh can be given? You need, in order for an Onesh, a punishment, to be meted out, you have to have an additional pasuk. So Omar Kro, Ki Chol Asher Yase Mikol HaToyevos V'chule, and it goes on to say, V'nichrasa, that person will be subject to the Kore's punishment, and other punishments are potentially available as well. We can speak about Makos, we can speak about the need to bring sacrifices, etc. But we have a separate pasuk to teach us that there is an Oinish, and that's Kichol Asher Yasem Mikol HaToevos. Taimo Dekosav Rachmona Oleha. So how do I know that there is a prohibition of a surviving brother, a prohibition for him to marry an erva? He cannot marry his daughter, he cannot marry his mother-in-law. Well, we saw the word oleha. Ha lav hachi, if not for that word, hava amina, I would have thought, achois isha miabemes, that Reuven and Shimon married to two sisters, Reuven dies, Shimon, surviving brother, would marry his wife's sister for Yibum. My taima, why should that be allowed? Is there not a kores, a punishment for marrying one's wife's sister? So why would you think that it could be allowed that the Torah has to use the word oleha? Wouldn't it be obvious that it's forbidden anyway? The answer says, the Gemara says, no, it's not obvious that it would be forbidden anyway. The Amrinon, we would say, osi ase v'dochi lo isa ase. The rules of mitzvah performance state that a positive command, in this case, the mitzvah of Yibum, the Yibum marriage, supersedes the negative command of do not marry an erva. Well, if you follow the rules of mitzvah precedence, one would marry a forbidden woman in order, or if it's in the context of a Yibum marriage, based on osi aseh v'dochi lo saseh. Now, we know that's not the case, so how do we know that? Because of the word oleha. Question. Eimer di aminon osi aseh v'dochi lo saseh lo saseh greda. There is a principle of a positive command when it contradicts a negative command. You follow the positive command. You allow the positive command to set the tone, to rule. That's true when it's a simple negative command that's not punishable by kores. However, lo yisase shiyesh boi kores mi dochi. Would you have even thought that a positive command can overrule a negative command that has a kores punishment attached to it, which is the case of all the arayas, all the ervas that we discussed, are not simple negative commands, what we call los aseh greda, but rather they're heavy duty. They're negative commands, their violation carrying with it a kores punishment. So the concept of osi aseh v'dochi los aseh, who says it would apply there? And since at this point we'd say it wouldn't apply, I don't really need oleha to be the source of exemption. I wouldn't have thought that there would be Yibum in the first place. Vesu, and a second question, lo yisase greda min olam d'dochi. Where do we know to begin with that a positive command overrules a negative command? And it's very important for us to establish that it does, so as to justify the extra word oleha, to say that in this case we won't follow that rule. But if we can't establish there is such a rule to begin with, so I don't need oleha to tell me that which is obvious, that you don't do mitzvahs if it's at the expense of an aveira. So the Gemara at this end of the daf, at the end of this omed, is leaving us with two questions. We need we'll say the theme of this Gemara, and we have in front of us now a very, very long sugya, maybe one of the longest sugyas in Shas. A sugya that, if we want to summarize it, we need to justify the word oleha, the use of the word oleha, to tell me that something is prohibited, without which, without the word oleha, I would have said that there is yibum, even if it involves marrying an erva. So the Gemara, as we said, is at this point, is leaving us with homework, with a task at hand, to find or to justify oleha. And in order to do that, I have to establish that there is there's some precedent for asei doicha loisase, even in a case where the loisase has with it a kores penalty. Now, we see here at the end of the Gemara, basically, there are two questions. Where do I know that, where do I have precedent for asei doicha loisase sheish bo kores? And where do I know the basic principle of asei doicha loisase? As far as the basic principle is concerned, the Gemara is going to get into that fairly soon, immediately. As far as the first question, where do we see precedent for an asei, positive command, superseding a loisase sheyeshbo kores, that point will be discussed beginning on daf hey omid beis. Take note of the fact that it's two daf from now, hey omid beis. And that discussion will continue and continue till daf ches omid beis. On the other side of our Gemara, we have the nosei. It states the topic heading Amrinon Dien Yibum Yemerva. We say that there's no Yibum with an Erva. Shimon won't marry his daughter that was married to Reuben in order to accomplish the mitzvah Yibum. Midichtiv Aleha, from the fact that the Torah uses the word Aleha. The Lulea Posuk, without that Aleha word, Hoyinu Omrim, we would have said Osi Aseh of Yibum, Vedochi Lois Aseh of Erva. This discussion, we indicate Yunim Beinyin Aseh Dochi Lois Aseh Mamshichim Ad Chesom Ad Beis. So one has to get his mind geared up on track that this is the topic that will be holding our attention till Dav Chesom Beis. This whole concept of Aseh Doicha Lois Aseh and Aseh being Doicha Lois Aseh, superseding a Lois Aseh, even if the Lois Aseh happens to be a very severe, serious type of negative command, one that carries with it a kores punishment. If I can find a precedent for that, then we will understand why, in this case, I need oleha to tell me, don't follow the precedent. By the very nature of this Gemara, that it's a one long topic, unfortunately, this kind of Gemara does not lend itself so comfortably to the Daf Yomi schedule of learning. Daf Yomi essentially means every Daf is learned by itself, and you learn the daf and pick up the next daf the next day. There's a possibility of losing the continuity of thought, but we have to work within those restrictions. So at this point, before we conclude, let us just remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.